The outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, thanks for joining us in here today. I always feel a little bit uncomfortable when I do a Sunday morning program because, you know, anybody that's been listening to us for any length of time here knows that I said, listen, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. That isn't me. And I guess one of the reasons that I don't see myself being a pastor is the qualities, characteristics that I feel that I bring to the table are more attuned to a coach than they are to something that's in the pulpit or find in a church where, for the most part, churches have become places of encouragement. And I'm all for encouragement. I'm all for all that. But the idea of constantly, again, from a football coach's perspective, to constantly be running, going around and trying to rub people's backs and help them with their pains and their injuries. That's why I had a trainer during football. Guy got injured. He went to see the trainer because my job was to try to train the team to continue to play despite who got hurt, despite who was with it and who wasn't. And so I always feel a little bit uncomfortable when I come in here on Sunday morning because I feel a little bit like a hypocrite criticizing what I've said others do, just gather together on Sunday and never have it any action. And I don't ever want to do that. And so that's why I believe the scripture tells us this, that our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we try to do here. And that's what I want to do here today. And this is not your normal Sunday morning church service. We don't do praise and worship. I believe praise and worship is something that you continually do to God. Every time you open your eyes and you look outside and you thank God, and every time you walk around, you realize that all of your body's functioning, you're praising the Lord. And everything that you do in worship to our Lord. I'm not against music in church, but we've turned praise and worship of God into an event, into something that you do at church, okay? Now, if you like the praise and worship, then do this. When the show's over, when we're done, put on some praise and worship music and lift your arms and praise the Lord right in your home, right where you are. And I understand the power of corporate worship, and I understand that. And I understand the Bible says that we bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Do that alone. Do that in your alone time and worship the Lord. And we have come together as a collective here. Scripture says in Hebrews 10:24 that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And it doesn't say that it has to be in a church under the leadership of a pastor and a set of elders and yada, 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 yada. We have created the world's greatest religious system. And because we've created the world's greatest religious system, we, for the most part, as individual Christians, are no longer effective in how we're living out our faith and how to even minister to our own family, how to even openly share the gospel, how to be able to take what's going on, the truth of the scriptures, which is right before me here, the truth of the scriptures, and to apply it into every area of our life. Everywhere we go, every situation we find ourselves in, the Bible has trained us how to live within this system and how to be salt and light within this system, not to gather together in a church. Nothing wrong with doing that, but to have that be the entire focus of your biblical Christian walk is to gather together on Sunday and have the pastor tell you what to believe or what he found in the scriptures and encourage you. My wife, God bless my sweet little wife, she said, honey, people need encouragement. They need to be encouraged. I said, sweetheart, I understand that. But the Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you have to come here to be encouraged, then you have a spiritual issue in your own life. Encourage yourself in the Lord. What if we can't broadcast anymore? What if you can't get in contact with your pastor? What if you can't get in touch with your friends? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Christianity is both a corporate walk and a personal walk, folks. We've got to be able to understand that. And unless our personal walk isn't fully functioning, our corporate walk isn't going to be very, very good at all. So we're here today. We're here every 5 days a week, and we try to show you a picture of what the scripture says and then apply it to what we see going on around us. I think Christianity is about more than just getting saved. I think Christianity is more than just about going to heaven. If Christianity and your faith was just about going to heaven, then what? Well, Lord, take me now. Get me out of here. Why did he leave me here? Why did he say that I was the salt of the earth and the light of the world? What does that look like? What it would look like if I was salt of the earth? How would it manifest out into the society? What would it look like if we were really the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Would we have homosexual marriage? Would we have abortion on demand? Would abortion be an essential business and church not be essential business if we were really salt and light? And I'm not here to beat up on pastors, and I'm not here to beat up on Christians. I'm here to tell you this. What I used to just tell our football guys, hey, dude, tighten your belt and earn your meal money. Come on, man. This thing's getting real. And what are you going to do if you can't get a hold of your pastor? What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you have to go a month, 2 months, 3 months without praise and worship music? What are you going to do if you have to go 6 months without hearing the words of your pastor? Are you prepared and ready to apply your faith to those around you? Are you prepared to be the salt in the earth to those that you have come in contact with? Can you do that? And if you are not able to do that, then our system has failed, folks. It's failed. And I hear from people who think I'm too harsh and too, well, you know what I'm telling you? We're at war, folks. We're at war. And until we realize that and get that mentality on the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, a spiritual war that's breaking out, and not only in the heavenlies, but is manifesting itself right in front of us. We as Christians, the Bible tells us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Are you? Do you know everything that the devil's doing? Can you see it and point at it and say, well, that's confusion. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. The devil's working there. Can you look at our government and see what the scriptures tell us in Psalm 2? That we have evil spirits in high places. Can you see that that's going on? Can you see Psalm 2 where it says that the kings of this world are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed? And what are we supposed to do? Those of us who are sons of God, those of us who are created in his image, those of us who are the army of God, dare I use that term, what is our reaction supposed to be? That's what this show's about. I'd hate to call it a show. This is what this gathering's all about. And we're honored that you would gather here with us today. I got a lot of stuff I want to show you today, but I've asked our friend Randy out in Oklahoma if Randy would open us with prayer. And folks, listen, I want to do this. We haven't done this very, very often. I'm going to... When Randy prays, I'm just gonna remain silent for a bit. And if anybody else would like to come in and pray, you know, Russ Dizdar told me that the average prayer in churches on Sunday mornings is about 30 seconds. There's an opening prayer and there may be a closing prayer, but it's not a prayer focused event. Church is not. It isn't. It's the church has become a sermon centered event. It's all about what the pastor has to say. We go there, people say, we go there to get spiritually nourished. So if you're going to church on Sunday to get your spiritual meal for the week, you only eat once a week? Really? Well, no wonder we're so weak. No wonder we're so ineffective. So I'm going to ask Randy to pray. When Randy gets done, if anybody else would like to just unmute yourself, you just click on that little red microphone that you see. Just click on that. This is open to everybody. We believe that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. We believe that, yes, even you, little old you, can hear from the Lord. We believe that even little old insignificant you can open your mouth and the Lord will hear you. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in that. And so this is not a top-down thing. I'm not the expert and you are the peons. We're a body. Sometimes the thumb speaks and sometimes the little finger speaks and sometimes the toe speaks and sometimes your belly speaks. We believe everybody has a role here. So Randy, just take us to the Lord, and then anybody else who wants to come in after Randy, feel free to do it. Go ahead, Randy.
All right. Father God, we are so glad to be together in a group and an assembly today. We're not all together, but we are in spirit, Lord, and you understand that. We just want to praise you and worship you, God, with what we say and do. We just want truth to come forward. We allow you, Holy Spirit, to have your way here this morning in our group and to speak and to bring truth to us and let us hear it. And Lord, let us not be afraid, but let us speak what you give us and let each of us judge it, God, and let us see that it's true and if it's true. And we're just thankful that, God, even in these times of fear, in these times that our nation and the whole earth is full of fear, that, God, we We are not of the spirit of fear. You've given us a spirit of power and of a sound mind. And we practice that, Lord. We thank you for that. And we don't see everything as gloom and doom, but God, we see your glory in all this. We see your mighty hand, God. We see your kingship. We see Jesus as Lord of our nation. We see him as the king of the earth, and we are not a defeated foe. But, Lord, we are the church. We are the people, your people. And we just, Lord, we walk in that. We are thankful for that. And, God, we're thankful that we can come together and hear together and as a group. And I just thank you for each one that's here today. Father God, let them speak truth. Let them hear. Let their ears be open. And let us grow, God. Let us become the body of Christ. That's your will. That's the will in all things, is for us to grow in Christ. And we're going to do that this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen, Randy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we live in tumultuous times. And the scriptures warns us. Here's what we try to do here, okay? We try to take the scripture and help you apply it to what you see is going on around you. This idea that we can continue to live in this society, in this culture that we live in, and hide inside of our stained glass fortresses and continue to have peace and liberty. You know, the Lord loves justice. Did you know that? The Lord loves justice. And there's so much injustice that we see going on in America today. And why do we see so much injustice? We see so much injustice because the church, which is the salt of the earth and the light of the world, the church, who's the one who's responsible for justice, we've shirked our responsibility. We've thrown off the responsibility, and we've turned it over to the heathen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The scripture says, why? Because the kings of this earth have conspired against the Lord and his anointed. That's Psalm 2. That's what's going on. And if our salvation is merely about going to heaven, I get up every day. You probably won't be able to see this, but let me see if I can scroll. Yeah, you can see it. They're my grandkids. They're on my phone. They're on my phone. And I think I have a spiritual, moral responsibility to fight for them, to fight for their future. I think that's what the Lord would want me to do. I believe that's what it says in the Constitution of the United States, the preamble to ourselves and our posterity. If your Christianity and my Christianity is only about me getting to heaven or my wife getting to heaven or the personal benefits of being a Christian, we are totally missing the whole point. The Bible talks about what? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. What does that look like? To lay down your life for your friends. What does it look like when we used to live in a land of the free and the home of the brave, and millions of soldiers went and fought wars all across the world for what? That we would be able to maintain our Christian liberty here at home. And here we are fighting now for Christian liberty in the church. Dare I say it? For the most part, we're nowhere to be found. The church is nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be found. What has happened to us? That there's no power in the church, that the federal government, more accurately, the local government, your governor, folks, they're closing down churches. Now, stop a minute. I want you to think about this, the power of God now, right? There's been no order. Come from Donald Trump or the federal government, the churches have to close. No order. No, that order has never been issued. And churches have just voluntarily, on their own, decided that they were going to close because why? The government told them they should. And being responsible, God-fearing people, we train ourselves in good civics that we obey the government. Well, folks, what do you do when the government becomes unrighteous and unholy? Let me ask you something. What would you do, or what would we do? What would be our responsibility as Christians If the government, at what level, federal government, state government, we the people, what if an edict came down this week or this month from one of these medical experts and said, you know what, we have realized, sorry if my computer over here keeps going off, we have realized that most of the people spreading this disease are old folks. Now, this is a hypothetical. Stay with me, church. And so the government comes out with some statistics, say, look, we have figured it out now that most of this disease is being spread and carried by old people. And we think that the best way for us to be able to handle the spread of this old people is we are going to go ahead and we're going to lock down every old person. We're going to take anybody over the age of 65 and we are going to quarantine them and we're going to have them live the rest of their lives locked down in these buildings. These, we'll call them hospitals. We're going to lock down all people over the age of 65 so that the disease doesn't spread any further. And you say, well, Coach, that's ridiculous. Oh, yeah? Well, let's say it's not ridiculous. Let's say they actually... somebody came up with that idea that they were going to do that. I'm 67, pull me and Michelle out of our home and we have to go live in a converted Walmart or something. Now, even though that might be a good idea, friends, from a Christian perspective, to quarantine the sick who aren't even sick, they're potentially sick. We have to ask ourselves, church, does the government have the right to do that? And if the government doesn't have the right to do that, who is responsible for blowing the horn against it? Does the church go hunker down, say there's a separation between the church and state, and we're not supposed to get involved in politics and watch old people get slaughtered, by the way, like newborn babies? Would our reaction be when they began to quarantine, give some type of death penalty pills to people over the age of 75, would the church have the same response that we've had in abortion? Say, well, that's just the government telling us what we're supposed to do, and we're good citizens, and we're so to obey the government. Hang on a second. Sheldon, if you would, pull up the first clip I gave you, Bible Gateway, Isaiah 33, verse 22. I wonder how many of you out there know that the American government, the foundation of American government, was based on Isaiah 33, verse 22. Verse 22. And it'll be up on the screen there in just a second. Isaiah 33, verse 22. Folks, this is Christianity. This is Christianity, all right? Hey, Sheldon, if you can do this. I didn't give you this link. If you could real quick, brother. Look up also the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower. Folks, I'm taking you back to the organic beginning of our Christian faith.
4 years.
Okay? Here we see Isaiah 33, this was the foundational principle upon which the American government was founded. For the Lord is our judge. There's the judiciary, the judges, the legal system. The Lord is our lawgiver. There's our legislative branch. The Lord is our king. There is our president. That is the division of government. And by the way, folks, it's not, as they like to call, separation. It's not the separation of power. Yes, it is. It is the separation of powers, right? They're not three independent branches. They're separations of power, okay? And so what we see now with those three, who is at the top of the government? The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. You cannot have American government without the influence of Christianity. Listen, we can have America, but we cannot have government in America as we see it without the influence of the church. The church is above the government, folks. And why would we not let them kill old people? Because the Bible says they're not to kill old people. Not because it's a good idea. Not because the doctors have told us so. You can't kill people because why? We hold these truths to be as self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All life has value in the eyes of Christ. And in the eyes of Christ, all life has value, therefore the citizenry values it. And we've gotten away from that in America, see? Because why? They lied to us and they told us that there was a separation between the church and state. Now, Sheldon had just thrown up there. Just stay with me a second. I'm going to open the gates here for you a minute. Sheldon, if you can bring up the Mayflower, a picture of the Mayflower, a copy of the Mayflower Compact that we can... Okay, go down. It's right in the bottom there. Folks, listen to this. Anyone who tells you that America wasn't founded... Stay right there. Thank you, brother. On Christianity, they've been lying to you. If your pastor tells you that there's a separation between the church and state, he's been lying. He's misinformed. He's been lying. Folks, the only separation between the church and the state is that the government has to stay out of the affairs of the church. It was never that Christianity wouldn't be the central point of our government, ever. It was never, ever that. It was that the government had no business poking their nose in the affairs of the church. We got it just backwards. So the Mayflower Compact, here's what it said. I don't know if you guys have read this in a while. They don't even teach civics anymore, I don't think. It says, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subject of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, the king, the defender of the faith, and having, listen, these are the pilgrims, and having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Why did they come here? Because they wanted to do what? They've undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And then they set up a government based on Isaiah 33:22 so that we would have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Governor Michael DeWine in Ohio works for the people. The people do not work for Michael DeWine. So here's the dilemma that we run into, and this is where we are now, Christians. This is where we are. This is the battle. This is the fight that's going on out around us. What should be the response of the church in the situation that we find ourselves in? Now, if you picture yourself, if you picture the church as merely a place where believers go to be encouraged by their pastor, then the truth is you're probably not going to do anything. If that's what you think Christianity is, on Sunday morning, going into your church and sitting in there and getting a good word and getting encouraged by your pastor and hugging all the people that you like, then going home, and that's the extent of your Christianity, well, it's no wonder that we're in the mess that we're in, if you think that's what it's supposed to be. But if you believe that we're supposed to have the advancement of the Christian faith and that our entire judicial governmental system flows from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that everything we do is to honor the Lord, everything we do, that we are to, as the Bible says, I'm going to get to it here in a second, obey God rather than man. Hey, friends, does that bring us into conflict? If Almighty God said that my liberty here in Ohio is to be able to make my own decision whether or not I'm going to go to church or whether or not I'm going to go to Jimmy John's to get a submarine sandwich or whether I'm going to go gather in. If my liberty is dependent on the government, now we come in conflict. That's the conflict that's before us today. Not whether or not we want to keep everybody safe. That's a false argument. That's a straw man. Of course we want to keep all people safe. But do we want to trade Christians? Do we want to trade godly liberty for security? Let me open it up and get some opinions on that. Go ahead.
Absolutely not, Coach. Hey, listen, let me go right back to the death thing. Okay, so you have a relative in a hospital on a ventilator or whatever, right? Would you be convinced that they're dead just because some idiot came in front of you and told you that as you're standing there looking at your relative? No. So the same thing goes for a baby. Once that spark of light hits and the egg and the sperm meet, it's a living being. It's a human being. You people are idiots who believe otherwise. You're idiots.
Okay, so Bennett, So, Vinny, no. Then the question then, Vinny, is, come on, folks, listen. The government, here's the conflict that we're facing in America today, and we cannot see it. Does the government have the right to determine whether a baby can live or not? Does the government have that right?
I'm talking government now.
When the government says that all men are created equal, and in fact, the preamble to the Constitution says for ourselves and our posterity, can the government vote to kill some group of people? See, they did that to blacks. They did that to the blacks, didn't they? We saw them do that to the Jews. Can the government, if the government says we are now going to kill all people over the age of 65, does the church comply with that order? That's the debate we're talking about here today. Somebody else want to come in?
Absolutely not.
Why, Gary? Why? What about Romans 13, which I'm going to pull that up here in a second, which tells us that we're supposed to obey the higher power. In fact, Sheldon, go ahead and pull that up there real quickly if you can.
Because God ordained government to not be a terror to those who do good works, but to those who do evil. So the government is acting lawless against God, then we follow God, not man.
But wait a minute, Gary. Wait a minute, folks. See, here's the issue. Here's what they've done to wake up, church. Here's what they've done. Who determines good and evil? Who determines right and wrong? We have some elected officials that are saying abortion is essential because why? See, they've determined that to be right. They've determined that to be good. Based on what have they determined that on? Nothing other than the opinion of man. So as we in the church, do we gather and hunker down inside our church and pray for a blessing on our family and pray for our finances as they are murdering babies outside of the church when we know that all life comes from God and we tell people we're pro-life, I'm pro-life, we're all pro-life, I vote pro-life, and yet the government continues to murder babies. Is this a conflict for the church? Should the church be obeying a government that says they're going to kill the most innocent amongst us? Somebody else.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach. Okay, so God ordained government. God did not ordain this specific government. The same as the government is in charge of the general welfare, not specific welfare.
That's right. The general welfare. Very good, Jack. First of all, it says, boy, this is, folks, this is stuff so badly. The general welfare. Well, listen, the Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of happiness, the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness comes from liberty, which, my friends, is a Christian virtue. Whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And all you have to do is go look, open up your Declaration of Independence. I would have had it. I didn't know we were going to go there. Can you pull that up there real quick for me, Sheldon? I'm sorry. Declaration of Independence. Folks, this stuff's important. Church, this is important. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. And the evil is running rampant because they've been telling us that we're supposed to obey unrighteous government. Do you have it up there, Sheldon, the Declaration of Independence? Because I want to point something out in it that is very, Lord, listen.
Coach.
The Lord sets free is free indeed. We do not get our liberty from the government. The purpose of the government is to secure our liberty, to protect our liberties, not to tell me I can't go to a restaurant. Folks, this is a biblical issue. When they tell you that you cannot go to a restaurant and eat, that's a biblical issue, friends. Do they have the authority to do it? Not whether or not their intentions are good, not whether or not their motives are good, not whether or not it's good for everybody. Do they have the authority to do it? Because that same thing has happened to us in the church. What do we see in the church? Well, somewhere along the line, the Supreme Court of the United States got out of line with God. That's it. Stay right there, Connor. Or Sheldon, they got the Supreme Court of the United States came out from under God because they told us there was a separation between the church and state. So the Supreme Court of the United States began to make their own selves God. And Supreme Court of the United States says, listen, despite the 6,000 years of human history, we now declare that a man can marry a man. Yes, marriage is now between a man and a man. And the response of the church, okay, yeah, we'll marry him too. Okay. And then Supreme Court comes out and says, well, you know what? We've made the determination that a woman can kill her baby. She's allowed to kill her baby. And what did the church say? Oh, we're going to obey the government. We're going to, it's okay now. We can kill babies. We don't agree with it. That's what the government told us to do.
Right.
In the deck, stay with me a second. In the deck.
That's right.
Okay, Coach. So I got a question.
Hang on a second, please. And then the Declaration of Independence. Scroll on down a little bit. Sheldon, if you can. This tells all the things that they've done to us. Stay right there. They tell us all. And then it tells us this. I'm trying to find it. Boy, I wish I'd have been prepared for this. It says that it is our duty. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. It is our Christian duty to oppose unrighteous government. It's our Christian duty, folks. They put it right in the Declaration of Independence. Our Christian duty. Well, what about Romans 13? When a government starts telling you that it's okay to murder babies, we don't go along with that. Christians don't go along with that. When they begin to tell us that it's okay for a man to marry a man, we don't go along with that. Well, what happens when the government tells you, you ready? You got to take a vaccination. You can't have a job if you don't take a vaccination. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, church, is not, is it right for me to take in a vaccination, but is it my body, my choice or not? Does the government have the ability to force you to inject something in your body? That's the question.
That was awesome, Coach.
That's where tyranny takes us. Go ahead, Jack.
So my question is, then, if we are in opposition to abortion, and if we are going to take a stand, then how many abortions have each of us personally paid for?
Well, first of all, Jack, in the whole abortion debate, we're about 46 years too late.
Yes.
We're 46 years too late.
Yes.
And we know that for the most part, the church, again, listen, salt and light, not just getting saved and you being happy and healthy and then going to heaven. No, are we salt and light? Do all of God's laws, my friends, all of his laws are protective. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Protects the person that's going to be stolen from. Thou shalt not kill. Why? It protects the person that's going to be killed. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness against you. God's laws are protective. All of our laws are supposed to be protective of people, protective of all men. And we've gotten away from it. Why? Because they told us there was a separation between the church and state. Therefore, government is God, and it's the duty of the church to obey the government. That's where we are. Okay, hang on. I'm going to invite somebody else in. Again, if you want to say something, just open up your microphone, and I'll see you and invite you in. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is what happened to me. When I realized that the Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, when I realized how godly those documents were, this was not just men. This was God bringing forth freedom, liberty, human rights, freedom to worship, freedom for everything. When we realized that this is God, Coach, for us to not be part of that and to stand up and fight for that, means that we don't understand that our Christian duty.
So Randy, when God said, occupy till I come, what did that mean, Christian? What does that look like if the Lord, well, just hold on to this place, just strap her down, boys, and just hold on till I get, is that what that means? To
Coach,
occupy till I come?
If we won't stand up for that, then the people that are in the buildings carrying a Bible, which most of them don't and read it anyway, they won't even stand up for the Bible. I mean, that's a written document too, you know, basically. So if we won't stand for justice and truth and righteousness through government, we will not stand even in the church. We're nothing. We're hypocrites if we're that in that mentality.
Friends, let me ask you just a second. I'll get somebody else in here in just a second. Friends, let me ask you this. Because you know, I'm walking my own faith walk here, and I get up every day and I take things before the Lord and I say, Lord, show me here, man. Would you show me? Folks, am I going to be held accountable? I'm just curious. Will I be held accountable when I stand before the Lord because I paid tax dollars to kill babies? Will I give an account to the Lord for permitting my tax dollars to destroy marriage, to destroy the minds of children in public education, to destroy babies? Am I, what's that say? Huh? Am I a coach? You are an accessory to a crime. And would abortion still be going on today if the church stood up and said no? If the Supreme Court said in 2000, whatever it was, that marriage was between a man and a man, if the church stood up and said no, if pastors went to jail and rallied their people against the tyranny of the Supreme Court, would gay marriage be legal today? I would say no. Why? We're the salt on the earth. We're the light of the world. We are the ones, we are the bastions of truth. And we have been taught that we are not to do that anymore. We're just to obey the government. Hang on. I'm looking for somebody trying to get in here. Just so we don't walk on top of each other. So unmute yourself. If you want to say something, I'll catch you.
Dave?
Yes.
Just two things I would say. One is, I think in Proverbs, I think it's 29, it talks about how the righteous thrive when good people are ruling. I think it's Proverbs 2. So that verse and other verses would point towards involvement for Christians to put righteous people into leadership.
I think the scripture you're looking for, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn.
Yes, they groan. They groan.
Yeah. Yes, and they groan. That's where we are. Why? Because the salt has lost its savor. The salt has become good for nothing except to be trodden under the foot of men. Sheldon, bring up that Romans 13 for me again, if you can, real quickly. I didn't walk on you, Roger. Go ahead.
And just to add, secondly, you have to practice, I believe, to learn to stand up, okay? You don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go challenge somebody and take them on. Most of the time, you will cower. So when we're talking about leading and standing, no matter what role you play, if you're on the podium leading or you're supporting, you have to practice standing up, because eventually Christians are going to have to stand much stronger than they are now. And if you don't practice at an Open Ohio event, if you don't practice at the abortion clinic, if you don't do some of this, you know, quarterly or daily practicing, when the time comes to stand, I believe, because you haven't practiced standing, you will many times falter.
Roger, as we say often here, you cannot teach what you have not done.
Yeah.
And I went yesterday to a state house rally to Open Ohio. And there were a lot of people there. And you know what I think? I think there were people who were there for the first time.
Amen.
For the first time. And I think they saw this isn't hard. And they understood, well, I got to come out. See, they're coming out fighting for money and a lot of different reasons. What if we took that same attitude toward the Lord and towards liberty? What if we came out and stood out, we the people says, no, we will not comply. Is that a Christian thing to do? And I say it is. Is that you, Mark? Come on in. I will not comply. Is that a Christian thing to say? Melody, come on in. No, I'm sorry, Melody. I thought you opened it up. Is that Trump? Mark Trump? Somebody trying to get in? Okay, let me. Go ahead.
That was a good word, Roger. If you've been sitting in church for 26 years and you haven't stood up, you're not going to be able to stand up. You have to exercise that stand up. When I go out and do something, it's hard. It's work. You have to do it. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. But it's always hard. It's always hard.
Scary. It's scary. Folks, let me take you right now to Romans 13, because this is the one, first of all, this is the chapter that a tyrannical government is counting on from Christians. And this is also, dare I say it, the skirt that many of our pastors hide behind.
Yes.
Because it is, folks, the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New, bear with me, I'm going to wrap this together, okay? I'm going to change this a little bit. I want you to follow this line of thinking, okay? Let every soul be subject unto the government. Let's put that word in there. Let's take higher powers out of this verse. Let every soul be subject unto the government. For there is no government but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. The government is ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the government resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that shall receive to themselves damnation. If you resist a government ordained by God. Now stay with me. For government is not a terror to people who do good.
Yeah.
Do you see this? Government is not a terror to good works, but to evil. Government is not a terror to people who are serving one another, but it is a terror to those who want to kill babies. Government should be a terror to those who want to kill babies. Will you then not be afraid of the government? Do that which is good, and the government's going to praise you. Do you see it, folks? Do you see how they've twisted it on us? For he who, the government, is a minister of God to thee for good, putting vaccinations in my arm against my will, is not for good. But if you do that which is evil by obeying evil government, then be afraid. For the government does not bear the sword in vain. No. Because look, the government is a minister of God. The government is supposed to enforce God's rules and God's standards. That's the job. They call the government ministers. A revenger government is to execute wrath upon those that do good. I get arrested because I'm trying to rescue children at the abortion clinic. I get arrested. I'm trying to do good. They're protecting evil. See, when government begins to protect evil, they are not godly government. And it is our job, as we read in the Declaration, to throw that off. Throw that off. Wherefore, you must needs to be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Do you see it? Do you see what Romans 13 really says? The Christian government is ordained of God. But the separation of government from God, we now serve a godless government. We serve a government that is God. Hey, folks, that's idolatry. That's where we are.
Coach.
Yes.
You could take the statement Patrick Henry made, and you could, in context, you could plug it in right there and say, give me liberty or give me death.
It would fit right there. Hey, Randy, very simple question. Is abortion good or evil? Well, wait, whoa. No, sorry. Is God pro-abortion anything? Is God pro-abortion? If God's not pro-abortion, why are you? Why are we? Does anybody think God's pro-abortion? Now, he is pro-choice. He said, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He told you what to choose. He gave you the two choices. It's like being in school. It's multiple choice question. He gave you the answer. I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Why? That you and your children might live. But if you choose curse, you choose death, curses follow that, folks. Look at America. Look at where we are. Look at the curses that are upon America as a result of it. And it's all stemming from the point, dare I say it again, that our pulpits have winked and nodded at unrighteous government. That's it. Christians have. Afraid to go to jail. Paul, who wrote Romans 13, folks, he spent most of the time writing from jail. Pull that up, Connor. Let's see. I'm sorry, Shelton. Pull up. It says obey God. You want a little bit of Bible this morning, folks? You want a little bit of happy, clappy, smiley teeth, feel-good Christianity? Well, let me give you a little bit here, right here in Romans 13. Because Paul, who wrote Romans 13, spent a lot of time in jail. He and his buddies, a lot of them, all of the apostles, all of them. I have a link for you right there. It says obey God, Con. You could have gone right on that. And go to verse 24. Okay. Are you sitting down there with me, folks? Get out your Bible and underline it and do your Bible study along here with me. And don't listen to that 6-foot icicle telling you that you got to obey government. Well, there's just nothing we can do about it, boys and girls. It's the law of the land. Yeah, and soon mandatory vaccinations will be the law of the land. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple, Paul had just been out preaching. By the way, they told him he couldn't do it. Stop it, man. You quit that. Paul went back out on the street and says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard that Paul was still doing this, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They said, uh-oh, somebody better put a stop to this. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, hey, you guys out in prison? Hey, Paul guy, he's standing in the temple. Hey, you let him out of jail and he went right back and is doing it again, boys. What they said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They called the cops on him. Then the captain, with his officers, went and brought them without violence. Why? Why? For they feared the people, lest they, leaders, should have been stoned. They always do it under the cover of darkness, don't they? Peacefully. And when they brought them, Paul and his crew, he set them before the council, and the high priest says again, the government, right? The government said to him again, hey, dudes, did we not straightly command you that you should close your church because everybody's going to get sick if you don't? And look, you have filled all of Columbus with your rebellious doctrine. And you do you intend, watch this, do you intend that we as a church, we're going to get in trouble? They're going to bring blood upon us? Is that what you're doing? Are you trying to get the rest of us in trouble, Paul? Will you quit it, Paul? Will you obey the government? Then Peter, maybe I've been saying Paul the whole time, I'm sorry. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, hey, what are we going to do? We're going to obey God. Not man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you dudes slew and hanged him on a tree. He said, we ain't going to deny him. You guys did that, but we ain't taking part in that. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard it, when the religious folk heard it, they were cut to their heart. And they decided to conspire together on how they were going to get rid of these boys. There it is. There it is. And you mean to tell me right now? Hey, church. How many of you listening right now been booted out of your church? Because you were preaching, dare I say it, a doctrine contrary to what they were telling you in your church, that you were supposed to obey and be good little Americans, be little citizens, let them destroy marriage and let them kill babies and let them teach homosex to your children in school. You got nothing to do with it because of the separation between the church and state. And there we are.
The coach, you can't preach this kind of message whenever you're preaching a prosperity message. It's contrary to one another. It won't work.
That's right.
But, coach, now in what we're going to face in our nation and most of the earth, you'll be able to preach this message. It's because that message is going away. The prosperity is going out.
Hey, how about that one, Randy? Huh? Maybe we're going to that old time religion, right? Let's go back to that old time religion. Listen, I got one I want to close with here. I'm not ready to close yet, but I don't want to be a know-it-all, and I don't want to dominate. Anybody else want to jump in here? If you just unmute yourself, I'm looking right now at the board. I can see if you do unmute yourself, have comments you'd like to make or a revelation that you've had, or, you know, you can question. You're allowed to question this here. If you think I'm wrong, you're allowed to say that. Counselors, area code 31.
Could you repeat, please?
What's that?
I didn't. You were breaking up for a minute. What area code?
Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead.
Okay. You're breaking up. Slight shift here. So in New York State, we have everyone must wear a mask in public diktat from the governor. So how do you go about and walking this out when you go into a place of business? And even though the merchants are not required to enforce any of this, the manager or the owner says, hey, you need to leave if you don't have a mask on.
Well, I think that the guy that runs the business has a right to tell me not to come in without a mask. But the government doesn't have that right.
Yep.
The guy owns his own business. He has the right to tell me, put a mask on or don't come in. I'm okay with that. But I don't want Governor DeWine telling me I can't go anywhere without a mask on. We're in downtown Columbia. I cannot believe it. I see people outside and they're wearing masks. Wearing masks. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, man? What is wrong with you? But see, it's the programming, right? We want to be good citizens. Do you understand this, don't you, folks? That the spirit of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, it says. And we see the left doing all of the rebellion, but their rebellion is rebellion against righteousness. Folks, our rebellion is against evil. Our rebellion is not against righteousness. It's not wrong to rebel against unrighteousness. The scripture says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Rebellion against unrighteousness is a requirement of the Christian. Dare I say it? Paul did it. Peter did it. Jesus did it. Jesus went to jail. Jesus got the death penalty. Why? Because he was following the law, the authorities? Come on.
Coach, the founding fathers, they did the same thing as the apostles. They didn't fall for tyranny. They said no to it. They stood up. They dumped the tea in the harbor, the tea party. All that was saying, we don't recognize pretend law and this taxation, and we're not going to stand for it. They were Christians.
That's right. And they rebelled against the king. They rebelled against the king. Hey, Sheldon, bring up the one that says Deuteronomy 28. Because we love to
quote.
Yeah, go ahead, Jack. We love to quote Deuteronomy.
Can we touch the prosperity thing just a little bit? I wish that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. How much right. would you prosper if the unlawful government wasn't unlawfully taking your fruits of your labor?
Amen, brother. Huh? That's right, Jack.
We and don't if you ask permission, are you asking permission to keep your money? Wait a minute. Something's wrong here.
How much money would the government have? I'm sorry. How much money would the church have to do good things with it if the government wasn't taking 50% of your labors? Yet we're supposed to obey the government, right? Come on now. Okay, so everybody loves Deuteronomy 28. I hear it all the time. And verse 2, I'm going to go through this quickly, Connor, because I'm looking at the time. And all these blessings shall call upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Scroll on down there, Sheldon. It says, "Oh, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed on the field. Blessed is the fruit of your body. Blessed is this, and blessed is, you're going to be. Oh my goodness! All these blessings are going upon you if you hearken unto the Lord. Oh yes, yes, yes. Your enemies, why, they're not even going to rise up again. Oh, what if you hearken and obey them? How the voice of the Lord. Now, hey, Sheldon, go on down." Go on down. Even your enemies shall rise up against you, and they'll be scattered. You're going to be established a holy people. Oh, yeah. And all the people shall see that you're called by the name. Yahoo! Yahoo! Keep going there, Sheldon. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going, Sheldon. All these great things. You're going to be the head, and you're not going to be. Stop. Oh, stop. 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 Go up, Sheldon. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath. You're going to be the first and not the last. But go on up a little bit more, Sheldon. Now go up a little bit more. Keep on a little bit more. Then he says this in verse 15. But, I hate buts. But, it shall come to pass if you don't hearken to the voice of God. This is the but not. This is the but God of Deuteronomy 28. If you don't do all those things I told you, then, hey, Sheldon, you ready here? Verse 16. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall thy basket and thy store, and cursed shall be the fruit of your body, and cursed shall be those when you come in, and cursed when you go out. And then shall the Lord send upon you. The Lord's going to send you vexation and rebuke. Yeah, the Lord's going to do that. And the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he's consumed thee from off the land. The Lord's going to do all that. See, we love Deuteronomy 28 and all the blessings that come with obedience. But we don't hear much about blessings of Deuteronomy 20:14, where all these curses fall upon us. That's where we are. Why? Because we've not hearkened to the voice of the Lord. We've hearkened to the heart, the voice of the Supreme Court. We've had pastors standing in our pulpits telling us we should obey this ungodly, unrighteous edict. Hey, I'm as Christian. I'm as patriotic as they come. I love my country, but I hate my government. Why? Because the government is not righteous. There are none righteous. No, not one. Now, here's our question as we're winding down. Who's supposed to be doing something about the unrighteous? Oh, I know. Let's elect some Republicans. Let's get us homosexual Lindsey Graham in there. Let him be the righteous standard. Let's get him in there. Let's get Lindsey Graham in there. And what's that guy from Kentucky? McConnell. That's his name, McConnell. Let's get him in there. Let's get those guys in there. Yeah, that'll solve it. We'll get these unrighteous Republicans in there, and they'll fight the fight that the church is supposed to be fighting. And where's our Black Robe Regiment? Where are they? Where are the men of God? Where are the men of God losing their heads and laying down their lives for the gospel's sake, for the truth of the gospel's sake? Oh, it's not popular preaching. Not popular. No, it isn't. But your children and your grandchildren, I showed you on my phone, they're going to live in a nation I leave them. They're going to live in a nation you leave them. The church has better realized that we're the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. We're not the molasses of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. And salt stings. People don't like it. People push back against it. This whole idea of friendship evangelism, everybody come and be part of it. No, the word says that broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come, but only few find it. The question before us today, Christians, is those few of us who have found it, what is it we're supposed to do? What do we do with it? Now, let me throw this out here as I close this morning. We're holding a rally next Saturday at the State House. I was there yesterday. I was going to show a video about it. I didn't. Tune in tomorrow on my show and you can watch it. What an opportunity for Christians to come and stand with us and fall on our face and repent of our sins here in Columbus, Ohio, and then stand up and demand our leaders act righteously. They will not move if the salt has lost its savor. If it's going to be righteous, it's going to be because God's people have once again gotten out of the salt shaker and gotten involved in the culture and the society and done all we can to make sure that the blessings of Deuteronomy come upon us and not the cursings of Deuteronomy. Next Saturday, 1 o'clock at the State House in Columbus, Ohio. If you're a Buckeye or close, come and join us. Thank you for the chance to, I thank you for your trust that you let me come, that you join with us here today. Folks, future's in our hands. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We don't have any idea how this thing's going to play out. But we do know this. He said to Christians, occupy till I return. And the last that I saw, he isn't here yet. He's in me. He's in you. We're the restrainer. And we got ground that we got to hold and ground that we have to take back in honor of our King. God bless you. We'll see you, some of you tomorrow, Monday. If not, we'll see you next week.